Welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs. This is the show for CPAs, where we discuss the latest developments in technology, business management, career planning, and much more that are impacting the way you advance the state of business. I'm Jessica Salerno, and in this episode, I'm speaking with Chris McWiggin, President of Professional Courage, professionalcourage.com. Chris and I talked about what can be a nerve-wracking situation for a lot of people, salary negotiations. How do you prepare yourself to negotiate salary? How does it change as you grow in your career? And do women negotiate differently than men? We covered that and much more. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, to start off, why is salary negotiation so important?
You know, even in a bad economy, negotiating your salary is absolutely critical. According to Business Insider, individuals who don't pursue salary negotiations stand the potential of losing over $1 million in the course of their lifetime.
Wow.
So it absolutely can have exponential rewards if you just step courageously and go forward into that conversation.
Okay. So why do you think some people are so nervous when it comes to negotiating salary?
You know what? Historically, money conversations contain a lot of anxiety for all of us, whether it relates to a personal issue or limiting beliefs that we've had for a lifetime carrying around with us. So as such, when we step into monetary negotiations as it relates to our salary, that anxiety is still there. And it exists for both the employer as well as the employee. Mm-hmm. From the employee's perspective, they're really looking at a high-stakes situation. They've worked really hard to earn this offer.
Right.
And now it's on the table, and they want to make sure they don't do anything to jeopardize that.
Mm-hmm. And what about the employer perspective?
From the employer's perspective, they have invested a lot of time and energy into finding the right candidate. So they want to make sure that they win-win at the end of this conversation as well. Mm-hmm. And the best thing they can do is to reach that win-win solution for everyone and make sure that the end of this conversation results in placing that employee.
Right. How can someone who is about to go through a salary negotiation prepare? What should they do?
There's two points of value that you certainly want to have a firm grasp on before you step into a negotiation. Mm-hmm. The first is your position value in the marketplace. That is essentially what is the going rate for your job in your geographic region. And there's a lot of great resources you can gather that research from, whether it be online at payscale.com, salary.com, or from actual individuals. You can network with someone inside of a professional association, mm-hmm. or perhaps talk with your mentor who may have some more advanced industry knowledge and be able to offer some insight into what that position value is. Mm-hmm. The second point of value you need to have a firm grasp on is your own value in the marketplace, essentially what you bring to the company's bottom line. Mm-hmm. And this could be seen from past performance evaluations, accomplishments that you've documented over the last year or so of your career, mm-hmm. things that you've done to really add to the company, help them to save time, save money, increase efficiency. All of those things can be incredibly helpful as you step into that conversation. And once you have those two points of value, it's practice, practice, practice. Mm-hmm. Negotiation is like a muscle. The more that you try, the more that you attempt, the more you practice, the stronger that you get. Mm-hmm. So attempting to pursue those negotiations in lower stakes situations, whether it be a mock interview or maybe even calling your cable service provider,
yeah.
and attempting to negotiate a lower rate mm-hmm. just before you step into that conversation can boost your confidence.
I love that idea. I've never thought about practicing a negotiation, like you mentioned it, lower stakes, something
Absolutely.
That if you mess up or it doesn't go your way, it's not the end of the world, to kind of prepare you for the big situation.
Anything you can do to boost that confidence level before you step in.
Hmm. So what is so important to remember when you're going into the negotiation?
You want to have a really clear sense of what exactly your numbers are going to be, mm-hmm. right? So you never want to walk into the negotiation not sure of what's going to happen or not sure of what number you think is acceptable. Mm-hmm. So having a really firm idea of what your range should be and also what you anticipate the conversation might bring. Mm-hmm. So if you're brand new to the industry, you have to take that into consideration. And if perhaps the organization itself is just starting out with this new job, or maybe it's been established in the company for quite some time, mm-hmm. are they having a hard time filling it? Has the opening been there very briefly? All of these things play into what that number should look like.
Right.
So having a clear idea of what the circumstances are surrounding the position and the opportunity can be very helpful as you step into the conversation.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, how does salary negotiation differ depending on what stage of your career you're in? Let's start with like young professionals, someone who probably hasn't negotiated salary before, or if they have,
just once or twice.
Or maybe only talk to their cable service provider, right?
Right, exactly.
So when you're a younger professional, the process is actually the same in terms of how you want to prepare and execute. The biggest difference comes in from where you're going to find that perceived value. Mm-hmm. So I talked a moment ago in terms of whether or not you're going to consider two factors, your value in the marketplace as well as your personal bottom line value. For younger professionals, they're more likely to base their negotiation on that marketplace value,
right,
because they have less of a sense of what their bottom line value might be.
Mm-hmm.
You can still pull upon things like internship accomplishments or maybe group projects that you did while you were in school,
mm-hmm,
that can help give insight into your personal bottom line value. But younger professionals more likely to rest on the marketplace value when they start to look at what those numbers and ranges should be.
Yeah. So what about a mid-level experience? How does that differ?
Mid and upper level experience tends to be quite the same, which is that now you have the opportunity, because you have career success behind you, to base more of that value on your personal bottom line impact. Mm-hmm. So you should be stepping to that conversation with more research based on you as a professional and what you have done for that organization or all of the organizations you've worked for in the past,
right,
as opposed to just saying, this is what I know the going rate for a project manager in Columbus, Ohio might be.
Mm-hmm. You have a little bit more pull at that level.
That is correct, yes.
So what about someone who's senior level, very experienced, has been around the block a few times? Is there anything they should keep in mind or change through the years as they negotiate at that higher level?
So what becomes a value the more tenure you have is, first, you've had more practice negotiating, right? So
right,
you're a little bit more comfortable in that space. And you tend to, further in your career, have a stronger sense of what your personal negotiables and non-negotiables are.
Right.
Also, I think at the executive level, they have a stronger sense of the other things that can be negotiated. It's not always about money. So when you look at, you know, flex time, remote work, telecommuting, stock options, vacation time, mm-hmm, there's so many different options that you can throw into the table to negotiate along with your salary,
mm-hmm,
that executives tend to have some more experience, more insight into those pieces, so they negotiate a stronger overall compensation package.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like salary negotiation is something that's more common today, that more people are aware of and try to be proactive about?
Thankfully, yes, right?
Yeah.
So everything is negotiable. We've all heard people say that, mm-hmm, and it's absolutely true. There's never a wrong time to negotiate, and you always want to take advantage of the opportunity to potentially be increasing your salary. I mean, it's the fastest way to make thousands of dollars in just a few minutes during,
right,
that conversation.
Right.
It's also incredibly rare that you would possibly put your job offer at risk by starting that negotiation process.
Mm-hmm.
It's expected as part of the job offer. It's actually known that a lot of companies tend to sort of lowball that initial offer because they expect job seekers to then negotiate from there.
Right.
So absolutely something everyone should actively participate in,
mm-hmm,
should take their chances with and step forward into.
I love what you said. There is no wrong time to negotiate. Is there an ideal time? Is there a right time to negotiate?
There is. So in two different ways. So, mm-hmm, one is during the job search process. Let's say that you are actively pursuing a position in a new company or into your existing organization looking for a promotion. During that situation, you want to wait until they are at the point of wanting to offer you the position.
Right.
So you don't want to pull the trigger too fast and during,
right,
that initial telephone interview start asking questions about what it is that they're planning on paying for this position.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's ideal that you wait until the actual hiring manager brings up the topic before you would ever start speaking about that. So,
okay,
you try to delay it as long as possible in the process,
mm-hmm,
and wait until the hiring manager brings that up to you, because it typically takes place toward the end when they're getting ready to make that offer.
Right.
When you're looking at negotiating a raise, which is also a great time to negotiate, if you're in an existing position, perhaps you've taken on additional responsibilities, or it's been some time since you've received something beyond that standard of living increase,
mm-hmm,
those time frames are actually, it's a myth that the best time is during your performance evaluation, because typically by the time you've hit performance evaluations, the budgets have already been set.
Mm-hmm.
Your best option is to have a meeting with your supervisor 3 or 4 months before those budget conversations take place.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at doing that late fall as opposed to first quarter of the new year,
mm-hmm,
so that you have the opportunity to come forth and sort of make your argument as to why you should be making more in the next year before they've already made a lot of those decisions, and when there's not a lot of competition.
Right.
During performance evaluation time, everyone is looking for a raise.
Exactly.
In the fall, few people are thinking that strategically.
Yeah, be more strategic about,
mm-hmm,
it. I'm curious, when you're actually in that conversation, how should someone handle pushback? You know, you maybe ask for a number and your manager kind of balks at it. How should someone recover from that?
First, I would always suggest that people ask for a range. Anytime that you're talking about your expectation, you speak in terms of range because there's more flexibility there. Mm-hmm. When I say to you, I refuse to make less than $10,000 this year, in that situation, now I've put you in a spot where I've sort of made it an ultimatum and you have to say either yes or no.
Right.
When I say I was looking for something in the range of $10,000 to $20,000, now there's room for us to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So first, I would say don't give just a specific number. But if you've offered that range and the manager is coming back and sort of pushing back or seems appalled that you would expect such a number, there's a couple of different options you have and certainly some different phrases that you can use. So mm-hmm. one is to just inquire more of what their anticipated range for this position was. You may choose to ask what the range for the person who was previously in this job was making.
Right.
And if you feel as though maybe you've stepped into the conversation too quickly or they've asked the question to you that forced you to give a number that maybe was higher than was necessary or what was really constituted what responsibilities you would have, you sort of call that out and indicate that what you would love to do is continue the conversation so that you can both have a better understanding of what they're expecting in the position and the value that you can bring to the company before you continue the salary discussion.
Absolutely. What would you say are some of the more common mistakes that you hear people making during salary negotiations?
Definitely failure to prepare.
Right.
So again, people kind of come into the conversation and more we see salary discussions are coming up earlier in the job search process. So it used to be until you were one of the final two or three candidates, it wasn't even a consideration. You didn't need to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are oftentimes you'd be contacted by a recruiter and they would ask you in the first 30 minutes of a discussion.
Mm.
So having a general sense of what you're looking for, what that range might be for you is important anytime that you're thinking about making a transition, just so that you're prepared for the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of your points of value that I mentioned a bit earlier, make sure you're practicing, sort of getting out some of those nerves and attempting in the beforehand. And then once you're actually in the situation, mistakes that people can make is definitely not understanding that there are things other than money on the table. So mm-hmm. if you've hit one of those stopping points and someone says, I'm sorry, the highest that this position even offers is X, is blank.
Right.
You have the opportunity then to, again, discuss some of those other elements of compensation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to ensure that you have access to a professional development budget and that you're able to pursue some training and conferences throughout the year. Perhaps it's as simple as just requesting that you can have a follow-up conversation at some point in the future
mm-hmm.
so that you can reopen the discussion maybe when the company's in a different financial position.
Yeah.
Get that commitment to sort of have a future call to action so that this isn't the last time that you're having that conversation.
Mm-hmm. I know that you've referenced starting a new position and also negotiating at a company you've already been with.
Mm-hmm.
When someone is starting a new position and they've been given an offer, are there any red flags they should look for in their future employer during that salary negotiation that would make you think, maybe this isn't the place you want to be at?
Mm-hmm. I think any time that the hiring manager or organization is not willing to be clear on what it is that they're offering or to put that into writing,
mm-hmm.
right? So you never want to, you can accept an offer verbally, but it's always contingent upon the fact that you would be receiving a written offer
right.
and that is when your official, acceptance would move through.
Mm-hmm.
So if they fail to be specific and be formal about the offer that they have just made to you, and you want all elements of the offer, not simply the salary number, but also some of those other compensation points that I referenced, should be included in their written offer. And also one of the things that you can look for is if they tend to be really disorganized in the process. Now you have to be careful because companies these days are moving at an unbelievable pace. And it's not uncommon that the hiring process is something that sort of falls between the cracks and you hear from different people and can sometimes take longer than you as the job seeker expect for sure.
Right.
But certainly if there's an immense amount of disorganization in the event that perhaps they've called you and said, I'm sorry, we're not moving forward with you. And then the next day you get a call from someone else in HR and they say, okay, we'd like to schedule your next interview. Anytime that there's mass miscommunication and the company itself seems to be incredibly disorganized, that's a time to just pause and have a very candid conversation with the potential hiring manager about your experience so you can get a sense for whether that's a one-time incident or if it happens often within the organization.
Absolutely. Is there a difference, would you say, when people are seeking you out for advice between women and men when they're asking for salary negotiation?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
So women, by and large, are proven to not make that ask nearly as often. Mm-hmm. And when they do make the ask, it's always a smaller ask. And so one of the things I think is great is that what we see coming through with our culture and our economy is that women are getting stronger. There's more and more leadership books being written by women, mm-hmm. powerful women speakers getting out there and really motivating and empowering young women professionals to step out and ask for what they are worth. Mm-hmm. And it's important that that trend continues. But by and large, we still see that men are more comfortable with negotiations, and they're certainly more comfortable increasing the value that they're asking for, even when it may not be based on evidence.
Right. Is there anything you would tell women to be aware of when it comes to negotiating? I know that there's a lot of back and forth about women should be more like men, and no, they should just be more themselves and work to their strengths. Anything you would tell women specifically to be aware of?
I think you should be authentic, authentically you, and you should own your value. So if your value is that you are able to solve problems, you know, you bring clarity to chaos in an organization, own that value, be able to articulate that value to your potential hiring manager or your existing supervisor and stand strong with that. You don't need to worry about whether or not you're acting like a man or you're acting like a woman.
Right.
Know your value and hold firm on that value. That's what's most important.
Absolutely. So there's obviously a lot of things that you need to consider, but what are some 2 to 3 pieces of advice that you would offer someone before going into a salary negotiation?
2 to 3 pieces of advice. The first is certainly to, again, know your numbers.
Right.
Don't walk in just thinking, well, I'll take whatever they offer me, or I'm thinking in a range of $30,000 to $70,000. That's a pretty big range at, you know, at that point.
Right.
So you want to have a clear idea of what you're asking for and why you feel justified in asking for it. Right. Mm-hmm. It can't just be, well, I just bought a new house, and so in order to support my mortgage, I need to make X dollars a year.
Right.
Having a firm sense of your number, having a firm idea of how it is you add value to that company.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're interested in. They don't need to worry about your mortgage. They need to understand how your particular hiring you is going to bring value to that organization.
Exactly.
So understanding from the employer's perspective. And I think walking into a negotiation, I think that confidence piece goes a really long way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you truly are stepping into a situation that can be a win-win. And if you come at it from that perspective, optimistically, knowing that this is just a conversation that we're going to have in hopes that both of us can find the right compromise,
mm-hmm.
so that you get the employee that you're looking for at a reasonable rate, and I get that raise that I'm looking for, or that, you know, comparable compensation that I've been looking for in the marketplace, then everyone's going to win in that situation. I think people who step in with a very pessimistic view, or who feel like they're somehow asking for something that they're not allowed to be asking for, it's an expected part of the process. Mm-hmm. Treat it as such.
I love that perspective, looking at it as a compromise, because I think a lot of people sometimes feel bullied or cornered, depending
yes.
on how comfortable they are with the negotiation, the person they're speaking to. But I think that would be a lot more a more calming stance to take, mm-hmm. like a compromise.
Well, and think about it in the example that we gave earlier around, you know, calling up your cable service provider
right.
to see if you negotiate a lower rate. They're not going to cut you off as a customer because you asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that could happen at the end of that conversation is they're going to say, no, this is our bottom line. This is the only thing that we can do, in which case it opens the door for you to talk about other non-monetary compensation points, as I mentioned earlier,
yeah.
telecommuting, educational value, things of that sort. So the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to say, nope, this is where we're at, and it's just going to open up a different level of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, again, request a future meeting to have that discussion again when the company's in a different financial position, or you've had the opportunity to showcase your value.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that could happen is you're going to walk out of there with 10, 20, 30% more than you were expecting to make.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a really exciting conversation that you want to be having as soon as possible so that you can go home and celebrate.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us today, Chris. You've made salary negotiation seem so much more accessible and a lot less scary than I think some people feel like it is.
Thanks again to Chris for coming in and sharing the tips you need to know to ace your next salary negotiation conversation. You can go to her website, professionalcourage.com, to learn more. And don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find the links to our channels in the episode description. And if you like the podcast, please spread the word, share a link, or tweet out that you're listening. Send me your thoughts on this episode or an idea for a future podcast at jsalerno, J-S-A-L-E-R-N-O, at ohiocpa.com. Thanks for listening.